Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It is Monday, January 28th. So I posted something this morning. I read, well, here's what I said. I said, till now, I've agreed with everything AOC says, but this is where we part ways. And so what did she say? She said that tech monopolies are killing journalism. And if you double click on that, she says actually a lot of things that I agree with about tech monopolies and how dangerous they are and even toxic, which is a word that I don't really like when applied to people, but I like it fine when you apply it to companies, because companies can be toxic. Exxon, for example, certainly is a toxic company, and Google is behaving very irresponsibly with respect to the web. Facebook is totally foreclosing on the web. They're all behaving badly. But to say that they're killing journalism, that's just wrong. They're not killing journalism. In fact, journalism, none of this problem would be happening if it weren't for the fact that journalism refuses to take responsibility for their own future. Like every other business, and I don't necessarily think of journalism as a business, but what you're talking about is journalism as a business. I think of journalism as a civic duty, like jury duty or voting or serving in Congress. I actually think that that is where journalism is headed, and I think it's the only rational answer to the predicament that journalism finds itself in. And the reason Facebook grew so large, and the others, Twitter and Google as well, is because they did something that journalism was unwilling to do and refused to do, which was this: give a level playing field to everybody. Doesn't matter whether you're the New York Times or the Washington Post or the San Francisco Chronicle or the Bronx Bugle. By the way, I'm from Queens. I also went to high school in the Bronx, so we have that only many, many years before. In any case, the tech industry. And I played a role in creating this, so there's maybe, sort of a bias in there. Said basically, we're just creating this technology for everybody to use, and did not give any special privilege to the major news organizations, the major news corporations. So you might say that this is what the web did, what the internet did, what the progress of technology did, independent of the monopolies and the companies, is that the human species invents new ways to communicate. And in the 70s, well, as a progression, really, 70s, 80s, 90s, zeros, teens, as we go on, we keep making this communication medium better and better and fairer, open to more people. A good example is, how would you, Ocasio-Cortez, have been able to run an effective campaign without the tools of the internet? It created a level playing field for you. And that's the miracle of the of who you are and why you're such an incredible force for good in our political system. We need the same thing in journalism. And unfortunately, and this is something I'm surprised about and disappointed in, that I thought that the journalism, the sort of cloistered journalism, I have an image of barbers cutting each other's hair. That's what I think journalism is. When I watch a show on MSNBC and the journalists are interviewing other journalists, I go, there's no chance for any news to actually get in there because there are no voices from anybody other than in this very closed little monoculture. That's the word I was looking for. And it gets more and more monoculture all the time. And, here we are in, early 2019, and we're already in the horse race for the 2020 election, which isn't until it's ridiculously far away from where we are right now. We have much more immediate problems to solve. Just think about your 12-year prognosis or plan or whatever you want to call it. In the time between now and the actual election in 2020, we will have used up about one-tenth, maybe more than one-tenth of the time we have left. And what will news be talking about? They'll be talking about all the mudslinging and stupid little bullshit that never ends up amounting to anything. They're just sitting there, cutting each other's hair and getting paid really well for it. And in the meantime, killing not just democracy, but also killing journalism, by the way, FYI. So here's what should have happened. What should have happened is in the early 2000s, 2000, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there, one of the news organizations should have said, okay, we see where the future is going, and we look at this blogging stuff and we think, wow, that's really incredible. Look at how it has empowered the people to inform each other and us, because they're using blogs too, by the way. Not just for publishing, but for reading as well, for access to sources. I mean, how many times do they... Anyway, they would have seen the opportunity. It doesn't have to be all of them. Doesn't even have to be many of them. Just one says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to create this very open network, open to, in the sense that everybody gets to publish on it and nobody is better than anybody else. And our reporters are on there too. And we publish our stories on there. And we let other people publish their stories on there. And sure, there's going to be a front page. And our reporters are way more likely to get onto the front page than one of the people. But if a person says something that's particularly insightful or exciting or interesting or just really, we think everybody should see it. Maybe it's not even good, what they're writing about. Maybe it's terrible. But if an informed person would want to read it, we'll put that on the homepage too. And I think that would have started a process. And it would have been a good process. It would have been a process of figuring out what do we need to pay money for in journalism, and what is just the sources on their own communicating with everybody else. Because if you actually look at what journalism is, if you break it up into its pieces, it really is packaging sources. That's what they do. They don't actually, when they lose track of that, then they think they're making news and they're being the umpires, the referees, or calling the balls and strikes, or whatever it is they think they're doing, which is them completely unqualified to do that, ignorant. They make enormous mistakes that end up costing millions of people their lives. And I mean, the whole email thing with Hillary's emails, that was a scandal. It was brought to us by the journalism industry, and they never bothered to tell us what the actual scandal was, because there actually was no scandal. And they just played it up as if it were this horrible thing that she had done. And lo and behold, because the thing that should have happened didn't happen, only their point of view gets out. And of course, only their point of view about what's broken in journalism gets out too. So you never get to hear the other side is that, okay, all right, we hear you, journalism. You think Facebook's screwing everybody. We get it, okay? Now, how about presenting some equal time where we consider the possibility that you're the one that's screwing everybody? That's the thing. We never get any visibility into them. They just hire other reporters to report on themselves. And of course, they like what they see. So AOC, this is where we part ways. And I am actually disappointed that you don't see that journalism needs to go through the same kind of transition. On the other hand, maybe you do. And I put myself in your shoes and I think, well, if I were her, and I were able to extrapolate that, the change that I want to see in government should also happen in journalism, maybe you wouldn't be so quick to point that out right now. because right now they're treating you quite well. And you are not just, at this point, no longer just creating your own publicity through Twitter, but I read about this thing on CNBC, on their Twitter account, in their story that they wrote about you. So they're treating you well, and I basically support you, and actually, not basically, I support you. I haven't seen you break faith on things that actually matter yet. I have seen Elizabeth Warren do that, and you know, I thought before you came along that Elizabeth Warren was what I think you may turn out to be. But there were some terrible things happening in the Gaza Strip, and she stayed silent on it. And she was cornered on that, and she refused to comment. And what became very clear there is the truth is that if you are in American politics and you criticize Israel, you don't have much of a career left. And she seems to have succumbed to that. We'll see what happens. I think you probably won't succumb to that one. But I do think there's a pretty good chance that right now that's pretty much what you're doing with journalism, is you're stroking them, you're giving them what they want. It isn't doing them a favor. It isn't doing any of us a favor. We need to actually be able to communicate with each other and have a fair degree of confidence that we're hearing, people we're hearing from are people who are trying to discover the truth. Nobody gets the truth. Nobody gets to say what the truth is. But the difference is, are you actually trying? And do you have some basis for your opinion or the thing that you're reporting? Do you actually have some corroborating evidence if it's a fact? Or do you have some experience to back up your opinion? You know, this is what we need to learn how to do. And we're at nowhere on that. And we've trusted a bunch of nerds to do that. And that's wrong, and that's not their fault. It's the fault of the journalism industry for having not had the guts to let us compete with them. They would have had to create a democratic space, and they refused to do it. They refused to do it then, and they refused to do it now. And by the way, how do I know they should have done it then? Because I was pleading with them in 2000, 2001, 2002, and I can show it to you. I had private meetings with various news organizations, and I wrote about it extensively, and I said, here, this is the way it's going. This is what you have to do. This is how you, journalism industry, can participate in this magnificent, you know, downpouring of cash that's flying into tech. The only reason they didn't benefit from that is because they refused to do it. So we don't have to prop them up. They didn't do what they had to do. They could still do it, and it might still work. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't work. You know, the New York Times branded Twitter, which does not, and by the way, Twitter isn't so pure, actually. They did tilt the table in favor of journalists. they give them more followers than they gave us at the beginning. They really wanted positive press, and so they rewarded the journalists with more followers. If you go look around, if you see a journalist that has a million followers, and you wonder, I wonder how they got a million followers. Well, okay, some of them actually got it because their news organizations have that much flow, and it translates. But some of them, they just got it overnight. It just happened. And this is like a dirty little secret in the tech industry, but it really happened, and I saw it happening. A lot of people saw it happening. This is before Twitter became the super, you know, monster platform that it is today. So anyway, that's what I have to say. I still actually admire AOC. I think she's an incredible gift to us. We have no reason to do, we don't deserve her, but thank God she's there. And it all could turn out to be a mirage because, you know what, I've been disappointed before, but maybe not. There are people who have never disappointed me, like, for example, Ralph Nader. I don't happen to be one of those people who thought that Ralph Nader was responsible for George W. Bush. I think the voters were responsible for George W. Bush. So, or, you know, the Supreme Court, perhaps. Anyway, thanks for listening. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.